top 10 most misunderstood verses, number 8, Philippians 4:13, where Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Look, I've never been in a Christian school weight room or gym that doesn't at least have this verse somewhere. This is a great promise. Don't we want to believe that we can do all things we set our minds to through Christ because he's the one who strengthens us? Well, I'm not sure that's what this verse actually means. Let's take a look at this verse, including the verse before, and see what Paul actually means when he says he can do all things through him who strengthens him. Philippians 4:12 through 13, Paul says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, what is the context here? Is Paul saying I can do all things on the planet through Christ who strengthens him? I think that's not what Paul is saying. He's in prison and he's talking about how he can follow God, how he can trust God and have contentment through when his needs are met and when they're not met. Think about it like this. If you say to your mom or dad sometime, and they say, hey, what do you want for dinner? You say, I'll eat anything. You don't mean anything like a tire or a phone. You mean in the context of the kind of things your mom and dad serve for dinner. This is what Paul means. He's talking about he has the ability because of the Holy Spirit, because of his faith in Christ, to do all things that one does in prison and yet trust God through this and have contentment in him. That's what Paul means. So let's not take this one verse out of its context of who Paul's speaking to and what Paul means and act as if you can bench press 200 pounds if you have faith in Jesus. That's not what this passage is meant to say.
None of us, okay. This verse, when you think about it, some of you may be thinking, because I watched this a few times, I'm thinking, you know, but God can do all things. Well, God can. But he's chosen us to do certain things. So if someone's out there, say you're a young man, put yourself in a young man's position, and you see someone, this gal that is just, she's gorgeous, and you're thinking, I'm going to marry that woman someday. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, if you pursue that and she isn't interested, what happens? You get what's called a restraining order. So that's not a good thing, because it was maybe more of your idea than God's. But what we're going to talk about in breaking this verse down, I'm telling you, I was so excited, I couldn't wait to get up here. You are going to be able to supplant the meaning of this verse in your lives immediately. Not that we don't, but this scripture is going to open your eyes up to your current situation, why you're there, and how you're acting where God has you in life right now. So is anyone somewhere in life? See, all of us are. We're all somewhere. That's just how it is. I'm going to start off by reading, actually, before Philippians, there's a setting at the front of my Bible anyway, and it says this. It just gives us a little bit of a setting. It says that Paul wrote this poignant letter to encourage the persecuted Christians of the church of Philippi and to strengthen them in the difficulties they faced. Paul wrote while in prison. Well, that's difficulty. He's in prison. He too is suffering for his faith, but he wrote with joy, demonstrating that a Christian can be passionate for Christ regardless of the circumstance. Does anyone believe in that? That you can have a passion for Christ regardless of your current circumstance. So, you ready to go? All ready to bench your 200 pounds before we leave here today? For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Why doesn't it just say I can? Why does it say for? Anybody? We've talked about this before. One of the greatest passages that can commission us to go is Matthew 28:19 and 20. Because Jesus is commissioning us, but he says, therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have taught you. And surely I am with you always. Why therefore? Something happened before. Guess what happened before? Jesus said, God has given me all authority in heaven and earth. So he's like, I have authority now. Therefore, because of that authority, go. So right here is basically a base word of therefore. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. We're going to talk about that for. And that's what's just going to, I'm telling you, going to rock your world. Here we go. We're going to back up Philippians 4, 10 through 11. Paul is speaking. There again, he's in prison. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. So this is the church of Philippi. Not exactly sure why they couldn't help him at the time, but they desired that. Paul knew that he was in their hearts. He goes on to say this, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Here's what we have to wrap our minds around. Not that I was ever in need, for I have what? Learned how to be content. So when you read the verse, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, did you realize this verse is talking about contentment? The word contentment isn't even in there. What are you talking about, man? That doesn't make any sense. Paul learned contentment can be learned. He learned how to be content regardless of his circumstance. So we go on. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have, there it is again, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. So, contentment. What does that mean, anybody? If you're content with something, what would you say you are? You're satisfied. You're comfortable. Is anybody in a situation in life where you are not currently satisfied or comfortable? Think of you. Think of your loved ones. Think of your maybe children. Think of different things in life where you're not quite satisfied. So contentment can be a struggle. But what Paul is getting at, there is a secret about contentment. There is a secret about where you are, what you're going through. And that secret is what we're going to discuss. Full or plenty? Am I wrong in saying contentment, if you're not content, you usually want more? Has anyone ever had too much? See, we can have a problem here. Sometimes we can think, God, just get me out of this. I'm going through this hard time. I'm having financial struggles. I just found out, man, I have a disease. I'm struggling with cancer. You name all these bad things. God, just could you just get me out of this? I'm not content in this situation. But Paul says that he's learned to be content in little or plenty. So I want to go, a few weeks ago, I was reading through 1 Kings, talking about Solomon. I want to read something to you. Contentment kind of goes both ways. 1 Kings 10, chapter 23. Now, Solomon was King David's son. King David, probably the greatest king of all time, simply because of his heart. He made many mistakes, but he had a heart, the Bible says, a heart after God. And so, amazing king, but he fought battles throughout his kingdom. From the time before he was king until the end, they were at war with someone. Solomon comes in, and God brought peace to the nation. And when God said, Solomon, what is it that you desire? He said, I just desire your wisdom in order to direct the people of Israel. And God blessed him with that. Now listen to this. 1 Kings 10:23. King Solomon became richer and wiser than any other king on earth. People from every nation came to consult him. Listen, people from every nation. We're talking a lot of travel here, a lot of time, a lot of every nation, people and kings were coming just to consult, just to sit at the feet of Solomon and listen to this wisdom that was coming out of his mouth, because it was beyond human wisdom. It was godly, and it was giving direction, and it was positive. So people, year after year, everyone who visited brought gifts of silver, of gold, clothing, weapons, spices, horses, and mules. This was what was going on in Solomon's life. He had taken his godly wisdom, and he had brought peace to the nation of Israel, and kings of every nation is like, I want to run my kingdom this way. I have to figure out what he's doing. And they were coming and sitting at the feet and hearing godly wisdom from a godly man. Does that sound pretty cool? That's verse 23 of chapter 10. I'm flipping one page. Chapter 11. King Solomon loved many foreign women. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them because they will turn your hearts to their gods. So these women were coming from nations that had foreign, handmade built gods out of gold, silver, all different things, wood, Asher poles. So God had said directly, do not marry outside of your faith, outside of what I've called you to. Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. He had 700 wives of royal birth, 300 concubines, and in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods. Anyone else just mentally pick yourself up off the floor? Wait a second. God blessed you with wisdom. He blessed you with wealth. Everything you could possibly want. People are coming to you. Solomon, what happened? They turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord, his God, as his father David had been. Solomon worshiped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. In this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely as his father David had done. I read a whole story to say, let's explain why Paul says, I've learned to be content in the little. I've learned to be content in plenty. You see, we can have so much that we lose sight of what God's doing. So what is the secret that God's talking, or that Paul's explaining here in this verse? I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Paul is saying this in a prison, but Paul was a Pharisee. He had popularity. He had people bowing at his feet. He was the one giving the orders. When they were persecuting Christians, they did whatever Paul said. So he understood both. And this was the secret. The situation that you are in, God has placed you there. So what are you doing for Christ in that situation? And that's the contentment. To be able to say, you know what? I might want a different job, but I'm here and I see this person, and they're angry, and they're aggravated, or they're hurt, or they're going through this. God, would you use me just to bless them? May I find contentment in this situation to say, have a heart for this person, to see what I didn't see before. Because when you're not content, you just want out. You just want to move on. You just want to go. And we don't stop and understand, why has God allowed me to be here? What purpose is he allowing me to serve? And it doesn't always make sense at the time. I can think back when I was youth pastoring and I wanted to be full-time in the worst way, and I'm at the dairy, and I'm like, God, just get me out of here. All I do here is make money. You're God, you have money, you can give me more. Get me out of here. Let me be full-time in a ministry. Now I've been there at the dairy for 31 years, and I get it. I get it. I see the influence that Christ has had on people in that dairy because God has worked through me. I didn't get it at the time. And I struggle with contentment, and I ask him to remove me from that place. But he calmed my spirit. It took several months, but he settled me down and said, man, I need you here. You can do both. And once I found contentment, my attitude changed. I no longer was just telling the story, I'm just here to make money, because that was a lie. I am here to show you guys the love of Jesus Christ and let you see it in action, what Jesus can do in your lives. That's what contentment can do. But when we are not content, we just want out of the situations that God has placed us in for a purpose, for a reason. So because of that, that's the four. When you realize that where you're at is where God needs you to be, for that reason, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. God will open your eyes. He will give you strength. He will allow you to see this is why you're here, whether it's plenty or whether it's good. If you have plenty, it's very easy to begin to live for ourselves because we're not in want. God gave you plenty to use it for him, to be faithful to him, to put your trust and faith in him. Sometimes it's easier to lean on God when you're in want and you need something, and a little bit harder when you have plenty. But think about situations in life that may not have made sense. I know there are several people in here that have struggled with cancer. Some still struggle with it, some have been healed, and I've listened to many of your stories, and it always amazes me. One thing I hear quite often was, Matt, it's because of this that I was able to see life in a different light. I was able to understand maybe different family members and what my call was to them, because when you have this disease, sometimes you think, hey, I don't have long to live, and it helps you rethink. God placed me in this position to open my eyes up to see, hey, this is why I'm here. I'm going to love on you. I'm going to do this. There's different situations that may not make sense. And we're just saying, God, I'm not content in this situation. Get me out of it. But God is saying, I need you in this situation to understand why I've called you. Paul is in prison. And he could have spent all this time lobbying, just get me out of here. This is unfair treatment. And that's not to say that you just roll over, because Paul, he was in front of the Sanhedrin, and he did state his case, and he stated his innocence. But after that, they took him right back, put him behind bars, and guess what he began to do? He began to minister to the soldiers, to the other prisoners. Because he realized, this isn't all about me not being content and needing out. Okay, I stated my case, but here I am, God. What do you want me to do? Okay, Paul, go over there. I want you to begin to talk to that soldier that just tossed you in here. I want you to begin to love on him. He's struggling. He has anger. He has insecurities. There's reasons why he's acting the way that he's. I want you to go love on him. Now, this is Matt saying for a hypothetical, but I do know that Paul was within prison loving on people because he did not lose focus of where he was at. He was able to take his eyes off of himself and see the situation around him. So when I say contentment, trust me, I'm not saying, hey, just give up on life. You're in a bad job. Bummer. Keep working it. Not making enough money. You know, live simpler. I'm not saying don't grow yourself, but where you're at, why did God place you there? What can you do while you're there? Look at our church right now. You hear all these things, man, you're trying to do a block party, and you're putting the time and money and effort, and we've done other different things to try and grow the church and bring families in. Matt, you're not content at all. That's why you're trying all these things. Trust me, when you go through hard times, what might Satan tell you to do? Marriage isn't quite working out. You're just not quite getting along. separate. Church isn't, you know, families have left. And as a pastor, let's be straight, I'll be straight, you take it personally. You're a leader, someone leaves, you love them, and you're like, man, what did I do? What do you think Satan told me a few times? Quit. That hurts, man. You don't have to have that hurt. You don't have to be in charge of all these different people. Quit. But God has placed us in our situations. He has placed me here. And so you pray about that situation and you begin to do things and say, okay, God, I'm here. I will be content to be here. What is it that you want to do? And then you hear his voice and then you do it. So contentment is not staying still and just learning to be happy. It's saying, this is where I'm at. I want to see this for the way that God sees it, not just me. Okay, God, what do you want? And then when you begin to work in that way, he begins to speak to you and you begin to make plans. And God will never let you down. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But we have to learn the answer to that secret that Paul talks about. It's being content in every situation because you are there because that's where God needs you. That's where he has you. Don't be in a hurry to walk away from his presence to something that you want. Stay focused. God, why do you have me here? Look at the people around you. Look at the situation. Just begin to live your godly life, your Christian life, in love with the Lord in front of people. It's not about, sometimes I think we get this idea, preaching and good news and, you know, always making sure that you're talking about Jesus. The influence I have on a lot of people at work has to do with things that they see me do. Sometimes it's worth ethic, but the biggest thing it is, and I've had people tell me this, is how I treat people. I had a operator last week. I came out, and I was about the third mechanic to try and fix this machine, and he just said, I appreciate you. This is a big guy, you know, blue collar. We all call ourselves, we're kind of grease monkey knuckle draggers, you know, we keep the world going around mechanically and all these things. And I says, you do? Why is that? He goes, just your attitude. You're not mad at me. You're not mad at the machine. You don't make me feel less because I had to call you out. You just have this great attitude. Well, did he come and say, I appreciate you because the light of Jesus Christ shines all over you? Oops, sorry there. But why was my attitude one of patience and one of caring towards him? It's because Christ is in me. So when you're just living life, Jesus is being seen and you have opportunities to then have that conversation. But if I wasn't content and just wanted out of there, what are these guys seeing? We need to be more concerned about God's plan for our lives than our plan for our lives. Love this focus point. I have to give my wife credit. I had a focus point, and sometimes she can take words and make them just do better things. And so, honey, great job. Contentment comes as we learn to embrace. What's it mean to embrace? You ever embrace someone? An embrace is, it's something that you want to do. You're holding someone close. You're holding them tight because there is a love. There is a passion there. You're not letting them go. You're holding them. Contentment comes as we learn to embrace where we are and to identify why God has put us there. And then that verse makes so much sense. What's the verse, everyone? For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When you're in that place that you may want out of, think about Paul. You're here. God's placed me here. I'm not here for myself. Jesus, I'm here for you. I can do all things. So, Father, work through me to do all things. Justin, would you come up? We're going to sing whatever worship song you pick. I want everyone to stand. Ready for some transparency? Raise your hand if you're struggling to be content in a situation in your life right now. I have a problem that's beaten me to death emotionally. And I'm praying and praying and praying that contentment is fighting me. So anybody with me? Keep it up. I want to see these hands. Okay. We're going to worship together. And I just want us to take a time to pray. If you want prayed for individually, walk right up. Me, Pastor Chad, will pray for you. Jess. But if you want to stay right there, I'm telling you, just allow, open your ears and just allow God to speak to you. So as we sing this song, if you want to pray for, come up. But if your hand's up, God's going to speak to you. He's going to answer that question. Contentment is not about being satisfied the way that the situation is. It's about being satisfied that you know God's placed you there. And he's going to do a good work through you. Amen? All right. Let's sing that song. If you want to pray for it, come on up.
Holy Spirit. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee.
That we will grab a hold of what Paul was feeling when he said, I have learned to be content. Some of us might write off, oh, that was Paul. Yeah, he was an apostle. He was a human being with faults that once murdered innocent people. And Paul had learned. So for us out there that saying, I'm not getting it. I've tried, Pastor Man, it's not working. May we just lay at your feet in patience, knowing that you have grace for us and our timing. And may we learn contentment, dear God. May we just learn to open our eyes in the situation that we're in and see that you are doing a work, whether I comprehend it right now or not. You are God. You will not forsake me. You know my beginning. You know my end. So, God, I pray over each and every person here online watching. May the power of the Holy Spirit speak to us, dear God, that when we find ourselves content in you, all things are possible. Because we are doing the work that you have chosen us to do. We are in the place that you've asked us to be in. It's not about us, it's about you. So in the power of Jesus' name, I pray over our hearts, over our situations, that we will now look at it through eyes of faith and not eyes of selfishness or greed. God, open us up to do your will in our lives, we pray in your name alone. And everyone says, amen.